Hey, you're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. It's opening day for Major League Baseball, and the Mariners are back in action today, hosting the Cleveland Guardians at T-Mobile Park. M's faithful will tell you there's a lot to look forward to this season. Julio Rodriguez is serving megawatt star power and a swing to back it up.
High fly ball, the opposite way, out to right field. Julio tagged it, gone! Home run!
Luis Castillo is headlining one of the strongest pitching rotations in the league.
And Castillo strikes him out. He's back!
Some are wondering, could the Mariners challenge the Houston Astros for the AL West title? A question Seattle fans are not asking.
Is baseball just too boring?
But MLB executives have been asking that. It's been keeping them up at night, an existential threat to the future of the business. So in the offseason, while you were watching football, hockey, I don't know, The Mandalorian or something, professional baseball changed big time. The bases themselves are 3 inches bigger all around. Defenses can no longer move infielders to positions statistically optimized for stopping base hits. And probably the biggest change? A pitch clock designed to up the tempo and cut the downtime during at-bats. Now, whether you love or foam at the mouth hate the changes, one thing's for certain.
I don't think there's been a baseball season that was is anticipated quite like this one in a long time.
John Keel is co-creator of Numbers Game, which makes Major League Baseball scorebooks for fans.
The two things that Major League Baseball is trying to bring back to baseball are stolen bases. So they've moved the bases closer together to make it easier to steal bases, and they're hoping that it encourages teams to make that attempt more often. And then they also banned the practice of shifting infielders onto one side or the other of the infield to make it more difficult for hitters to get base hits. So there's a shift ban, and the bases are closer together to bring more action in. A lot of fans see that as very positive, but the introduction of a pitch clock, for the first time ever, putting a clock into a baseball game to encourage pitchers to work more quickly, but to force them to work more quickly is a big change.
Yeah, encourage, force, really, what are we talking about here?
In a very heavy-handed way. Yes.
Yeah, they're going to be penalized, basically, if they do not work in a timely manner. To be specific, that pitch clock makes a pitcher start their delivery every 15 seconds when the bases are empty and every 20 seconds when there is a runner on base. Now, there's a flip side to that, too, right? The batter has to be paying attention to the pitcher in the box, looking at the pitcher with 8 seconds left on the clock. Let's take first that pitch clock. What's the goal here? Why is the league instituting this pitch clock? What are they trying to solve, John?
Well, if you're Major League Baseball, you're a business that basically for the last 10 seasons has seen fewer customers every year. So baseball's got this problem of like, hey, it seems like people are not paying attention to our sport enough. And we think that the problem is the perception that our games move too slowly and that there's not enough action, but primarily that they move too slowly, they take too long. So the pitch clock is meant to make the games go faster, and there's no more experimenting needed. The pitch clock makes games go faster. Spring training games this year were about 25 minutes shorter than the average Major League Baseball game last season. So the pitch clock makes games faster. It does do that.
And is it penalizing so far pitchers? Are we seeing more balls, more balks being called? Or are batters having a hard time kind of getting in the box and being ready in time? Do we know yet the effects, not just on time, but on the number of base runners or the number of strikeouts?
Well, baseball is famous, of course, for the idea of like the small sample size. And I think spring training is still a small sample size when it comes to who will get impacted more. We've seen batters called out for not being ready in clutch situations, in fact, to end a game in spring training. And you've seen pitchers get outs that were then taken back because they quick pitched. They pitched just before or just as the batter was turning their attention to the pitcher. So I think it will definitely take the season to probably see exactly if this does favor pitchers or hitters in addition to making the game move along more quickly.
Something unique about baseball has always been that the length of the game is how long it takes to get 27 outs. You know, right. I mean, that's part of what makes baseball magic in my mind. Now, maybe I'm just being old-fashioned and nostalgic here, but is the pace significantly going to alter a fan's experience of watching a game? And, you know, what do you think about sort of what's been lost maybe in moving this along and trying to get new viewers?
Yeah, well, Libby, I think that's a great question because you're getting at this idea that to try to attract new fans or to maybe bring back fans that they've lost, Major League Baseball is changing an element of the game that is what people who love it love about it. So do I think ultimately that that fans that love baseball as it was will stop watching, will stop following their favorite team this season because of this change? I don't believe that that will happen right away, but it will be interesting to see how this impacts the experience of a baseball game. I mean, just first of all, you know, you pay money for tickets to go to a game, you pay money for parking, and now it's like, well, geez, like they're just trying to get us out of the building as fast as they can, and that's not what baseball used to be before. And so it is changing the experience for sure, but exactly what happens? And baseball has said like they're going to ride it out this season. So we'll have a chance, a full season, to see how fan reaction changes over time. But it really is, for baseball, it needs to be a net positive. They need to see people come back at a degree that's higher than people defect. And yeah, we'll see what happens.
I'm thinking about what's going to happen like in the postseason when you have these incredibly dramatic late game showdowns between a reliever, yes, and, you know, a cleanup hitter. And you're just like drawing out that tension as the pitcher is staring down and waving off signals. Are we really going to just have 15 or 20 seconds of that? Or will the MLB consider maybe making more flexibility in those rules when we get to like late season or post game play?
Oh, Libby, I can hear in your voice the passion you have for the game, and I love it, first of all. So yes, I mean, that tension that can rise in baseball, that is something that is so baseball. And what will be interesting is if Major League Baseball decides to make these exceptions, it's like, well, you're kind of saying that these other innings don't matter. You know, a big moment can come in a baseball game, a pivotal moment, in the fifth inning, in the sixth inning, that can change the game. So for example, like eliminating the pitch clock in the ninth inning or the ninth inning of a playoff game, it kind of acknowledges that in some way the rule is changing the way the game is played in all those other moments. And you know what? I think what that does is just like feed this other theory that, well, there's just too many baseball games. Like they just don't matter if now you're suddenly like throwing away these rules in the games that are really supposed to matter. So, I mean, there's so many angles to look at this, which is why I think it's so fascinating. It's fascinating to see the fan reaction, and it will be fascinating to see the players in games that count and how they deal with it and the moments that it makes along the way.
So that's the pitch clock. What about these new bases? You talked about the idea of moving the bases closer together. MLB's doing that by increasing the size of the bases. I've heard them called pizza boxes now.
Yes.
You certainly can see the bases from further away. They're a lot bigger on the field. What's the reason for these pizza boxes? Why increase the size of the bases?
Well, teams have just, as analytical as baseball is, they've done the math and they've said, look, it's not worth the risk to try to steal a base when we're going to count on the guy that's up right now to hit the 3-run home run. That's the way the game is played now. But suddenly, you know that these stolen bases are bang bang plays. So now you've put that base that much closer in that bang bang moment, and the math will be more in the base stealer's favor. John Smoltz, who's a Hall of Fame pitcher and broadcaster, I heard him say during the World Baseball Classic, maybe with some hyperbole, but he thinks if you take a guy who stole 20 bases last year, he's going to steal 40 this year. He thinks it will double stolen base numbers for real base stealers. And that, for baseball, bringing action into play is one of the problems they're trying to combat. And if that turns out to be true, this would be a great move.
So we, in recent years, had seen a lot of strategy around batters, especially left-handed batters, getting these massive shifts on where you see like shortstop all the way out in right field and, you know, really trying to use the data on a player against them. Now MLB is saying, nope, you got to have two players on each side of second base. Those players have to have their feet in the dirt. What's going on here, and what effects have we seen already in spring training, or maybe going back to the minor league play, will this ban on the shift have?
Well, Libby, I don't know about you as a fan. I've gone back and forth on this one. At first I was like, I can't believe this. You know, the idea of like a rule about where a guy can stand on the field seemed so foreign. But the truth is, the shift has been too effective. It's too good. And there are examples all over professional sports where the offense and defense get out of balance. Things are too weighted one way, and the league has to adjust because fans like action. In basketball, they like scoring, and the NBA has changed rules to facilitate that. Same in the NFL. And here, Major League Baseball has stepped in and basically said, hey, when you play defense like that, it's too good. And our best players aren't getting enough hits. They're foregoing, as you said, small ball in favor of trying to hit doubles and home runs. Batting averages are down. That's feeding into this lack of action, along with we think our games take too long. So here again, I've come around to like, okay, I think it's fine for our league to do this. And ultimately, I think we're going to see an increase in batting average, and we're going to see more action on the field. And as a fan, action that I'm used to seeing. So yeah, I want that back. And I think it's going to be a good move. Not that you're asking for John Keel's opinion, but I think fans will be happy about this one.
No, I am asking for John Keel's opinion because I, you know, it's really blowing my mind. I know this is probably overly emotionally attached to the baseball game as I remember it growing up, but it does seem like, yeah, a huge deal. Although, to be fair, in the 90s, we just didn't see a shift like this. We did not see the effect of these sabermetrics, you know, super data crunching teams back then. And so really, there's a sense in which this is returning things, right, to the way the game used to be played.
Yeah, ultimately, these are changes that are bringing back action that fans are used to seeing. You guys have a great shortstop in Seattle in J.P. Crawford. The idea of like middle infielders who used to be able to show off their athleticism and their range by going up the middle or going deep into the hole to get a ground ball, with the shifts, like those plays were even taken away. So it was really something missing in both offense and defense by just using the math and the data to just position players so darn well against the offensive players. So this would be really great.
Yeah, super athletic shortstops. You know, I was a kid when A-Rod was coming up in Seattle, and you know, seeing really fun, just exciting plays, a line drive snagged out of the air, that kind of thing is definitely exciting. Anything else you want to leave us with, John, about how fans, not just, you know, casual fans, but, you know, numbers people like yourself, what can they expect from this season? What do they say about where baseball is headed and the health of professional baseball right now?
Well, we see in the scorekeeping community, first of all, is people asking each other, hey, how are you going to score in your scorebook, like a pitch clock violation? I've seen fans drawing clocks around the letter K when a pitch clock violation for the batter results in a strikeout. So that's fun. Scorekeeping is all about personal style, and people are creating their own ways to score these new situations. I believe in the optimism, though, ultimately, of the game of baseball and what it means to the people of our country, to our culture. So I don't think baseball is dying. People have been saying it's been dying for a long time, and it's not. But I'm hopeful that baseball sees or learns something positive that ultimately does create a better version of the game. You can't deny change, of course. Change will always happen. So changes are happening here. And whether the pitch clock is the same next season as it is this season, we'll see. But I'm looking for positive change to the game and hopeful we see it.
I love it. Positive change to the game. Here's where I'm going to be upset, John.
Yeah, about you, Libby?
Yeah, at the end of, you know, a close game, if it's like two outs, bottom of the ninth, and we see a clock, a pitch clock violation ending up you know, resulting in a walk that like brings the winning run home. Like something like that is what I worry about too, as these extra rules, the extra involvement of the umpires, the time and the extra touch of the rule book, you know, on the game. I'm concerned about that, but I will suspend my skepticism, my old lady grumpiness for now, and I will take your optimism and get excited here for opening day.
No, you just changed my whole mind.
No.
You're right, because that is like the clock being up in the stadium. That's that heavy-handed notion we were talking about. The umpire can't like give that wiggle room. You would think like the clock counted down, so the pitcher takes too long, they got to like follow the rules. And yeah, that will create that moment in some game. And I guess we'll put to the test the idea that like no PR is bad PR, because when it happens, you know, the sports world will be talking about it, and maybe that's what baseball needs more than anything.
Yeah, the sports world is talking about these changes, and that includes Dave Sims, play-by-play announcer for Mariners television and radio broadcasts. We called Dave up to chat about how the game is different on the field and in the broadcast booth, where he and his colleagues now have to abbreviate their commentary, banter, and analysis for these faster games. As for the players, Dave says they've adapted well to the pitch clock during spring training.
These guys are great athletes. They have spent their entire lives adapting to new and different situations, and situations that come in the game, come up in games. They're fine. The first month, I felt, was outstanding for major league clubs. I know specifically for the Mariners, hardly any issues. I don't think, might have been, I think JP got caught for not being ready one time and got a strike. It might have been one or two other instances in the games that I worked. I love it. I think, you know, let's go. You know, this, our society today is like, here we go. Five, you know, it's like watching, remember in Chorus Line, and Bob Fosse was always count the dancers down. He'd go, 5, 6, 7, 8. Well, that's the kind of tempo we're looking at. And I like it. I think that it enhances concentration. You got to concentrate. You got to figure out what you want to do on a lot quicker basis. But I think the studies that they did, more than 8,000 games in the minor leagues the last couple of years, proven that, you know, 24, 25 minutes have been taken off the clock. I'm good with it.
About 25 minutes with those minor league games that they looked at. Do pitchers hate it, though? I mean, this is really messing with their flow and their ability to kind of step off and clear their heads when they need to.
Well, it depends who you talk to. I mean, our guys, let me think. Robbie Ray works quickly. Logan Gilbert, quick. All of our starters work very quickly. So, I mean, you'd almost never know a pitch clock is enforced. It's not been a problem with them. I know Robbie Ray told me, he said after the first game, I caught him, I think it was either after the game or the next day, and he says he was working his inner Mark Burley. Mark Burley, for baseball fans, know that it was a super fast working pitcher with the White Sox. He's only retired about 4 or 5 years, but he was efficient. He threw strikes, kept the ball in play, kept the defenders active, and that's what you want. I mean, I've talked to outfielders and infielders, hey, man, we don't want to be sitting here twiddling our thumbs. Let's have some action. I want to be on my toes and ready to make a play.
Yeah.
And I have no problem with it. Now, I was listening to a friend of mine, Ricky Ricardo, who was one of the backup announcers for the Yankees. One of the first games he was calling, he says, you know what? They better put more concession guys in the stands, because these games are rolling and you don't have time to stand in line and wait for a beer or whatever during the middle of the game. You can miss two innings.
Yeah, I used to like to kind of make dinner while I was watching and listening, and now I feel like if I turn around to like stir the pasta, I'm gonna miss something.
Well, what you should do, you should have the TV on in one room and the radio in another. I mean, that's basically what it's gonna come down to.
That's the game plan.
Everybody has to, you know, human beings, we're adaptable. We can do this. This is not brain surgery.
What about the way it's gonna change how you broadcast? I mean, you talk about the stories that are so important to weaving into the game as you guys are walking us through these 9 innings. Are you having to kind of speed up your patter, or, you know, change the type of stories you can tell?
Well, you take whatever stories you have, you get to the point quickly. And a lot of times you almost want to go to the punchline, deliver the punchline, and then go and take another few seconds after the next pitch to do the setup. You have to almost reverse it. I mean, that's one way of attacking it. If not, just, you know, cut down, keep it short. And it's, you know, once the season starts on Thursday, I mean, this is money on the table. This is the real deal. So, and on the radio side, there's no messing around. And the reads, you know, we get reads that people and companies pay for. Some of those are going to have to be shortened down, and we'll be shortening them down depending on who's pitching. We're not going to have time for a 30-second read. That's not going to happen. A lot of these things, hey, you know, we got bobblehead day coming up next Tuesday for Julio, low ball two, so make sure you get your tickets right now and the 1-0 pitch.
I love that. Are the Mariners hitters, are there guys on our side that are going to be benefiting from this potentially, especially like left-handers that really got crunched by that shift?
Happiest people probably on the planet going into Thursday are left-handed pull hitters. All through the major leagues. And it was interesting listening to Scott Servais talk about Kelnick, who had a great spring. And he said, you know, that 56 hopper that was, if he had hit one to the pull side, it might get past the second baseman. You think he got a base hit, and the second baseman's out in short right field, and he's throwing you out. That ball gets through now, you know, and second baseman with a double play in order, man at first, probably going to want that second baseman to cheat a few more steps towards second. That opens up the hole on the right side. The four hole opens that up big time for a left-hand pull hitter. So those guys are going to be the happiest dudes on the planet. I know from talking to Colton Wong, hey, man, I'm an athlete. I want to show what I can do. And all these guys, I mean, you're dealing with a whole bunch of alpha males here, and they want to show off what they can do. And if a guy, you know, prides himself of being a really good infield defender, he thinks he can get that pretty much every ball. He's going to get an opportunity to prove it here. And let's face it, as Americans, we want to be entertained. You don't pay big dollars to see guys grounding in the short right field and get thrown out. You want to see the ball in play. You want to see guys running. You want to see guys hit the ball out of the ballpark. Small ball comes back. I don't have a problem with that.
Dave Sims, broadcast caller for the Mariners, thank you so much. Really excited about opening day. Anything you want to leave us with? You know, all eyes on Julio Rodriguez, of course, to see if he is going to fulfill all of our extremely high expectations. But anything else you want to leave fans with if they're just getting back to watching the Mariners for opening day that they should be looking out for?
Well, I just think this has a chance to be a fantastic year. I mean, the team won 90 games the last 2 years with the 2 years ago, minimal, like no expectations. And then the expectation meter went up a little bit last year. It's really high this year, but for good reason. The starting rotation's outstanding. The bullpen, we're hoping for a third consecutive year of outstanding performances from those guys. You know, and if Kelnick comes through and he's batting in a 6-7 hole and he's hitting 250 with 20 homers and 75-80 runs, and JP picks up his hitting at 243 last year, if he picks that up 10-20%, and then the always big concern, everybody's got to stay healthy. And if that happens, they're going to be right there. And I've been talking to some of the national beat writers and reading them, and just about everybody picks them out to make the playoffs. And, you know, Houston's really good, but they're not invincible. And, you know, you never, the old baseball coach used to say, boys, you never know. So it's the beauty of baseball.
Boys, you never know. That's Dave Sims, play-by-play announcer for the Mariners. And if, like me, you have some big feelings about the new baseball rules, drop me a line. Our email is soundside@kuow.org, or you can leave us a voicemail at 206-221-3213. Thanks for listening to Soundside. This show is only possible because listeners support us. If you're able to give right now, please check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.